Hey there, this is Mobile Agent TV, helping agents stay on the cutting edge from coast to coast.
Welcome to Mobile Agent TV. I am Michael Thorne of Remax Little Oak Realty in Langley, BC, and my co-host, as always, is Dave Faulkner from Bridgewater, New Jersey's Remax Preferred Professionals and the Enviro Realty team. Dave, how are you doing?
Great, actually. Great. Fantastic. And our opening went really well that time. We were just talking about it, and it was really loud, so it was really good. Really good.
I changed microphones last week, but here's a question we were going to ask. Dave, we were just, before we got on the air, Dave and I were chatting about the intro, and the intro is well produced. I mean, it's the audio is great and the video is great, but it's playing video through Google Hangout, and we're trying to figure it out a way. And Dave, I said, Dave, well, let's just ask the audience. So if there's anyone watching who knows how to play a video within a Google Hangout that will play it from its pure form, opposed to it streaming through the microphone and back to the computer, let us know. I'm sure there's some tech people watching, and I would appreciate that. As always, you can interact with the show using the hashtag MATVLive, and you can tweet us at MobileAgentTV. If you have any questions for today's guest, who we'll get to in a second, please send them over our way, and I will keep an eye on that during the show. If I look down, it's because I'm doing that, not ignoring our guest. With a little bit of permission from our guest and from my co-host, I would like to stray off topic for about 2 minutes here. The events of this week with Robin Williams has spurred a lot of conversation about mental health, and I have been fairly open about my battle with depression over the last 5 years, the last 2 years have been very, very healthy for me. It was a result of a car accident that I was in 2009, and I actually talk about it quite openly with Terry Conrad on Conversations That Matter. You know, there's a lot of people talking about it right now, and we have to capitalize on this opportunity to have this conversation. I'll let you know that when I started making strides on getting healthy, when I went and seeked help from professionals, but when I really opened up to my family and friends and let them know what I was going through, and then there was a lot of support. So if you are someone who is battling mental health issues, and I never had any issues, obviously, that got me to a situation like harming myself, but if you are battling with depression or any mental health issues, please reach out to family and friends. And if you don't feel comfortable with that, and you're someone, you're more than welcome to reach out to me if there's any just chatting I can do with you or anyone. Just don't do this in silence. Reach out and have a conversation with others. So just want to say that off the top. So I know it has nothing to do with the show. Wow, how do I cut to social media?
I don't know if I can beat that.
but it has everything to do with the show.
Exactly.
It's perfect.
Thanks, Dan. Really excited to have Katie Lance back on the show. You can get her on Twitter at Katie Lance. And as always, we route out our guest 160 Twitter bio. It reads CEO, entrepreneur, social media strategist, blogger at Huffington Post, national speaker, iPhone addict, wine lover, family comes first, hashtag no tweets left behind. Welcome back to the show, Katie.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys having me back on. It's always a blast being on Mobile Agent TV, so thanks so much.
Thank you. We talked last week with Clark DiPristino, who is from Ipsos SMX, the social media exchange for Ipsos, and it was a really great show. We went through the 10 golden rules of social media, and you have, if there's anyone who's watching the show who hasn't seen it, you can go back and see that episode 64 at mobileagenttv.com. But we want to go through now, and Katie, and sort of talk about, especially for the real estate world, how do we take these 10 principles about the rules about going and engaging our potential consumer online and actually put that into practice? So that's why we want to have you on the show. But before we do that, I want to talk about a blog post that you put out on LinkedIn this week saying that you don't want to be dripped on. And yeah. I think this is one of the ways that social media really has benefit for real estate agents or for anyone, is to take that traditional dripping and have it meaningful with a bit more context. You said it was, maybe this is controversial, that's how you started your post, but I don't really think it is, in my opinion. Why don't you let people know about what you wrote and sort of the takeaways for you or the points you wanted to make?
Yeah, absolutely. So this post came from a just really my own personal experience. Some of you may or may not know this who are watching. My husband and I closed on a home 2 weeks ago, and we are moving in 2 weeks. So we're living amongst boxes. I'm in the one room in my house that doesn't have boxes everywhere. And so, you know, and my realtor, our lender, did just a great job. You know, kudos to them. They're amazing if they're watching. But what I found is once I sort of went through this process, all of a sudden I was like on this drip from a bunch of different people. People I didn't even know were starting to drip on me, right? And I was getting all these just generic emails and marketing pieces, and it was almost offensive to me because I thought to myself, I just went through this process. And it was shocking to me how personal and how emotional it still was, even after being in the business. And I work with agents and brokers all day long, but it was still, it's our home, right? It's where our kids are going to grow up. It's such a personal thing. And so it sort of sparked this idea of, you know what, I'm a little annoyed about marketing that's so generic. And, you know, and the other piece of it is I'm a marketing person. I mean, my whole background is marketing and branding. And so I've put together a lot of marketing campaigns and corporate marketing campaigns. And there's certainly a piece for some of that, right, where you've got a strategic plan in place and messaging. But especially for an agent specifically, it can't just be that, right? It can't just be I'm getting a postcard every month from my agent and that's the only context of talking to them. Or it can't just be a templated email that goes out to everybody. And again, that can be part of it, but I just am so passionate about the fact that it there's got to be a personal aspect of it. And I understand that the controversial part, of course, is the scalability, because if you're an agent who's got 100 or 500 or 1,000 past clients, how do you scale that, right? And, you know, I don't know if I have the magic answer for that, but I think that the more personal we can get, you know, Michael, you do a great job of this with your community Facebook group. I think you scale that at large, for example. And going back to what you said about context, it's all about context. And just reconnecting with people. There's this huge disconnect between when someone buys or sells a house and then they buy or sell a house again. You know, I quoted a stat from NAR, which says, you know, I think it's like 75% of people, 77. I can hear your doggy, Dave.
Oh, keep going.
It's okay. It's all good. You got a special Mobile Agent TV guest. So, yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, the stat is that something like 75% of people say that they'll use a realtor again, but the reality is only 20% or so do. And where I think the disconnect, I can already feel it, is just between that moment of here's your keys and then what happens 5 years later. So,
I think, Katie, especially in a very, well, you've just been through it, which is a very personal, emotional experience, like buying a home. It's not like buying a TV or getting auto insurance. These are people that you had a real, like you've gone through an emotional experience with them, and so then for it to be just become generic and non-emotional again,
it's
probably where it, you know, it's the fact that it's now changed and you've just been put on a drip campaign. I tend to agree with you, and like you mentioned in the post, now our ability to have reasoning to pick up the phone or to send off a message because we know about these people's lives, because people are so willing to share their lives now, to have a meaningful way of engaging is easier than it ever was before.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, some people said, oh, are you against drip marketing or email marketing? And I said, no, absolutely not. But I think in the context of it, you have to have it in addition to other things. So, you know, I don't mind being on a realtor's email list. That's great. But I hope that's not the only way that I'm going to keep in touch, right? I hope that, and my agent does a great job of this. You know, if she sees a funny article or something interesting, she might reach out to me personally and text me something or email me something, just sort of a, hey, I saw this, I thought of you guys, or your kids might like this. You know, you're going to Legoland, I saw this coupon you might need. I mean, just, it's about being thoughtful, right? And I think sometimes with social media, agents get so into this mindset of what to post. And strategy is a huge piece of it. I talk about strategy all day long. But the other piece of it is just like being in, you know, really kind of being aware of things around you. And maybe there's opportunities to reach out and you see an interesting article or you see somebody posted something and just kind of making that a special experience. And like you said, it's a huge financial decision. It's not like, you know, buying a scarf, you know, or even a TV. I mean, it's huge.
And I think, Dave, for you, don't you have what we would refer to as A clients, B clients, C clients, and D clients, something like that? So You know, the further you're up on that ladder, I think it's prudent for realtors to do less of that generic marketing to those people. I'm sure not everyone on your list, Dave, gets a pie, but the A's and the B's probably do, or the A, or however you do it. So when you have a meaningful experience, if I've done a transaction with you, you're on my A list, so I'm going to treat you like an A and not like a D that I'm trying to get to. If that makes sense, Dave. So you must have yours broken down that way too as well.
Right. We have in a database, we have like 1,700 people, but there's no way you're going to touch 1,700 people other than with the things that Katie's talking about, just sending them something from time to time. And you're absolutely right. Of those 1,700, we have less than 100 people that are really our A clients. We've sold far more houses than that, but we've developed our relationships, and the ones that when we touch them, they touch us back. We like them, they like us. We visit them. You know, I mean, I've been very vocal about social media and you know, the belly to belly, you got to put them in your car thing. And what Katie's talking about, I guess, is just the social media way to touch them a little more effectively, a little more personal, mm-hmm. a little more do a bomb bomb. Hi, you know, I saw the article in the paper about your kids, congratulations or whatever. So absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's a word that I think Clark used on last week's show, and it's a word that Katie uses quite a lot. I love is intentional. You know, I mean, it's this intentional engagement where like you say, everything it has a strategy to it, and you're doing it for specific reasons. One more thing I wanted to touch on, Katie, in the social media world this last week, where everyone started freaking out. I want to get your opinion on Facebook Messenger and the fact that, and it's not really about Facebook Messenger, it's the fact that we're living in a fundamentally different world. In my opinion, we don't care about our privacy as much as people think we do. I certainly don't, and because it's changed. Where do you weigh in, and do you have an opinion on the blog post that got out of hand this past week?
Yes, there was quite a big brouhaha about Facebook Messenger, which I've always loved. I've always, as you know, I've been a huge proponent of Facebook Messenger. I use it all the time to send Facebook voice messages. I mean, that's one way I try to get really intentional and personal with people is sort of take it offline and or offline in the sense of take it private, leave someone a private voice message. You and I have had voice messages back and forth.
Well, you taught me how to do it, Katie. You taught me how to do the voice messages.
So, you know, obviously on one hand, you know, of course you want to be concerned about, you know, the fine print and you know, exactly what you're giving people access to. From what I've seen specifically about Facebook Messenger, one of the reasons, for example, a lot of those privacy things people are concerned about is the fact that you need to give Facebook certain access to certain things to do what that app needs to do. So you're giving access to your microphone, you're giving access to your camera, which, you know, is scary for a lot of people. I mean, I always say, you know, if you're not comfortable with doing something, then don't do it, right? But at the same time, we are living in an age where, you know, things are just a little bit different. You know, the privacy concerns that I think some people have who didn't grow up with social media are a lot different than, say, the 16-year-old who knows no other world than Instagramming selfies of themselves. So I think there's a fine balance. I mean, for me, just in my own life, I am not a completely open book. I mean, I'm very public. I share things about my kids and things I like. But I also, you know, have made conscious decisions about certain things. I have, you know, some of my privacy settings locked down to certain levels depending on what I want to do. And so I've, you know, taken that time to think about that. I think everybody's got to kind of go through that process. I just, on my coaching call I had this morning, we talked a lot about Facebook privacy settings and making sure that you take the time. I do this a couple times a year because Facebook changes things all the time. I look at my privacy settings and I just make sure that everything's set up the way I want it to be set up. So, you know, in terms of Facebook Messenger, personally, I think that thing got completely blown out of proportion. There might be a few things to worry about, but to be honest with you, I mean, I still think it's a great app. I, you know, there's some bigger business reasons why I think Facebook is sort of dividing up their apps the way that they are, and that's actually a pretty interesting conversation.
Yeah, well, and here's where I am, and Dave, you can weigh in on this too as well, but here's where I am on it. Dave, when he sits down and meets his client, he says, how do you want me to be communicated with? Like, how do you want me to communicate with you? Text? And I've had a couple people in the last year or so say, Facebook voicemail. That's how I want you to interact with me because it's more personal than a text message. I can hear your expression, but once again, I can read it or listen to it when I need to listen to it and I can respond to it.
Yep.
So, I mean, as a business thing, all these people saying, I'm deleting it. there's some agents that you kind of don't have a choice. Certainly you don't have a choice, but if your client wants to be communicated that way, you're going to have to learn to communicate with your clients the way that they want to be communicated with, or you're going to like start to be left behind.
Right.
Get out of the way, Dave.
Well, we said that I think initially, or maybe it was before we went on the air, that this whole thing didn't bother me at all because I know the world is changing. It's just changing like this. And that's instant messenger, it's Facebook Messenger this week. 3 months from now, there'll be another thing that there'll be a blog about that somebody's going to do and get everybody all upset.
Yep.
And so, you know, we have to focus on what we do. We could spend a lot of time talking about Facebook Messenger, and, you know, you want to be a secret agent, you don't want anybody to know what you do, who you are, where you live, well, I don't get that. I just don't get it at all.
Yeah.
The world knows everything about me. I'm an open book as well. The only thing I really got out of that is I have to change the year of when I was born because other than that, I have no secrets. So yeah. I don't understand what the big brouhaha is about myself.
So I wanted to say something. I don't know where Roy Rissanen was today because this is the second week in a row that I've left the cameraman on me for the opening up part of the show, and no one got to see Katie or Dave's face until now. Roy, where were you to remind me to take that off? I apologize. So let's get right into it. One of the things that Clark, I went back and watched the episode. One of the things that Clark said last week that really, really hit home was, the idea isn't to launch a product anymore. It's to stay relevant in between product launches. That was what his use of social media was. So let's now restructure that sentence and say it as in real estate terms. The idea isn't to sell a home anymore. It's to stay relevant to those clients between the homes that you sell them.
Yep.
So I think that's the very interesting thing. It's not this transactional relationship we're having with our clients. Like you said, Katie, it's the between my transactions, stay relevant to me, stay in touch, be around, because once again, 77% of people say it, they would use the same agent, and the online way of saying that is if they could remember your name. That's how I've heard a lot of people refer to it.
Yeah.
So isn't that why we should be leveraging social media, is to stay relevant to the people we've already done business with?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And there's certainly systems in place to make that easier. You know, I can think of two great things. I mean, for example, CRM is a great tool. There's some great CRMs that have a social component, like Contactually, like Nimble. There's some other great CRMs that help to, you know, be really smart about the conversations you're having and keeping in touch with people through social. And then the other, I always talk about creating lists, you know, especially with Facebook. You can actually go into Facebook and create private lists. Your clients don't know they're on a list. And you can start to get really intentional. And instead of looking at Facebook and looking at your 500 Facebook friends who are, you know, playing Candy Crush and, you know, posting photos of their breakfast, you can look at your 10 clients and you can get really intentional about what they're doing. And like you said, it's those moments in between transactions or those moments where they say, you know, get back to me in 6 months. Okay, so you've had an email conversation or a phone call where they say, get back to me in 6 months. How do you sort of stay top of mind? Of course, email could be one, you know, maybe it's a handwritten note, maybe it's a phone call. But social media is one more great tool to just sort of stay top of mind and keep in touch with people. I find the list that that is the most beneficial to agents, not necessarily their client list, but that potential client list. So if they've created a list on Facebook where they've got people who they think they might do a transaction with in the next, say, 12 to 18 months, there's a lot of power in that, right? You might have 20, 30, 40 people in that list. Well, you look at that list, and then you see what they're doing. They're going on vacation. Their kids just graduated college. And then you take a moment to interact. You know, to comment or to like. And I always say, you know, don't click like on everything. Don't be creepy. Don't be that person. Right? But it's these little moments, and that's how we build relationships with people in real life when we've, you know, over the course of time. It's how we build relationships on social media, too. So therein lies, I think, a huge opportunity. And when I look at agents who are getting business from social media as part of their business, that's one of the number one things they're doing, is they're being very laser-focused and intentional about connecting with clients, past clients, and potential clients. With, by the way, people who are on Facebook, some of the clients are not Facebook people, right? So you're going to connect with those people differently. It goes back to what you said, Michael, about where they're at. Are they Instagram people? Are they old school? They don't have a computer, right? It's connecting with them on the way that wherever they're at. So that's super important.
And so on that note, let's ask a selfish mobile agent TV question about how far can you go engaging people before you cross the line. So one of the things is, how do we let people know about our show? I mean, you can go to mobileagenttv.com, you can sign up for our newsletter on the side, and you'll get a video email a couple days before the show saying, here, who's the guest?
Yeah.
Well, those people on that list aren't the same number of people that are fans of our Facebook page. We have 1,600 people on our Facebook page, primarily agents throughout North America and growing constantly. But outside putting a post saying, here's the episode, Katie Lance is coming on to talk about social media, and only 400 people see that post because I happen to tag Katie in it and they see it. I've seen a couple people create events and invite the people that are fans of their page. Where do we draw the line? Is that appropriate? Is that too much getting every week invited to? Where do we find our rhythm where we are engaging? They've chosen to be fans of our page. This is different than personal stuff.
Sure.
Without it being obnoxious, how do we know where we draw the lines?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I think for you guys, you know, you're doing obviously a lot of the right things. You're creating a video sort of teaser about the show. You're getting that out through email. You're getting that out through Google Plus, because this is hosted on Google Plus, so that's an important piece of it. You're promoting it on your Facebook business page. You're tagging your guests, so you're doing all of that right. I think a couple things. First of all, I think Facebook is more and more pay to play, right? And so I'm not sure if you're doing any Facebook advertising, but if not, I would say it's something to totally, I think you are, but I don't know if you are with Mobile Agent TV or not. And even if it's a $5 boost or a $10 boost, I find that more and more investing the money in boosted posts is just kind of the way to go. Otherwise, it just unfortunately gets lost. It just never gets populated to the news feed. I have seen events have a lot of traction. I actually will publish events for some of my speaking gigs that I do or webinars that I do. And I think you bring up a good point, because you do a show every week. So do you want to sort of quote-unquote bombard people and invite them every single week? I think it depends. I think you've got to have that personal touch. So I think either you or Dave, if you were to create that, you create the event, and then I would also I would invite the people who are your biggest fans. Right, and anybody who's listening, whether you're an agent or broker, you've got people that are just big fans of what you do. And I know with Mobile Agent TV, you guys have an army of people who just love you. You know, you could say the sky is purple, and they would be like, yeah, the sky is purple. So I would start there, because those are the people that are not going to be annoyed, right? So start with the people that you know for sure they love you guys. The benefit, obviously, to doing an event with Facebook too is you can have that be a place, one more place, where you post the recording at the end of the show. You know, people who've opted into that event get one extra notification. And then I would think from time to time, and I think you guys already do this, but from time to time, sharing what you do on Mobile Agent TV on your personal profiles, and sharing, hey, this week I'm super excited, we've got so-and-so on. I wouldn't do that every single week, but, you know, maybe you do that a couple times a month or once a month, kind of taking that, you know, business to personal. So hopefully that helps.
It helps, and it's interesting too, because Dave's Facebook strategy is probably, Dave, you're most comfortable. If you were to choose a social media platform, Facebook is you.
That's
and in a personal profile, right?
And business.
Where I don't play, people know that are friends with me on Facebook. I'll engage with you in Messenger, and I'll engage with you on your posts, but I don't post a whole lot of content on my personal page. We're very, very hyper-targeted with Mobile Agent TV and with My North Langley, with people that I don't particularly know or that we're building relationships with, and it's a very different strategy than Dave's strategy, because I get to talk about the topic that page is interested in, and the more focused it is the better, where Dave's talking to cousins and past clients and colleagues and all that too as well. So that's interesting on how we communicate. And one of the questions we asked Clark, we had put out our new show, Fraser Valley 5, got launched, and there was a post.
Congratulations, by the way.
Was that? Oh, thank you. Thank you. We had a comment from a local brewery underneath our post that just said, you should drink our beer. That was the post. There was no context about it. There was no, and I love the brewery. And I asked Clark, why would someone, and we had people like emailing us like, that's sad. Like, that was sad to see that company do that.
Yeah.
And he simply said, it's hard to write engaging content. It's hard. And one of the things he had said was, before you press send, you have to put yourself in an empathetic way in the shoes of the person that's going to read that and sort of gauge how it's going to be read. And everything on social media has to have a hope that there's a response. It just can't be a one-way buy our stuff billboard advertising.
Right.
Give our agents advice about how can someone be more aware about their content, and how do they change the way of buy my stuff to, isn't it interesting, or what do you think? How has that changed the mindset? Because that seems to be difficult.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think that's one of the reasons why you see agents still who will post their listings on Facebook saying, you know, got a new listing, 3-bedroom, 2-bath, open Sunday 1 to 4, come on by. And they have the best of intentions by doing that, because that's what they do on, you know, on their MLS, or that's what they do on their website, and it doesn't translate to social media, right? So one of the things I always like to say is, if you can talk about real estate from a sense of why you love what you do, like why you're passionate about real estate, why you love working with the people you work with, that resonates with people, right? And so if you look at other things that people post on Facebook, generally people post on Facebook or other social networks things that they're passionate about. It's their kids, it's they love to garden, they love wine, you know, I always have to talk about wine on Mobile Agent TV. Exactly, it comes up. So I always say, you know, talk about things that you're passionate about. Some of you might be more personal things than others, it depends. But real estate should be a part of that. If you don't love what you do, you shouldn't be in this business. So how can you talk about it from a standpoint of you love what you do? You know, for example, with my coaching clients this morning, I said, you know what, I want to give you a challenge. I gave them a homework assignment. I said, in the next week, I want you to publicly recognize one of your clients. And I want you to do it in the sense where you just recognize that you're excited to work with them. You know, do it in a place of authenticity. But maybe you say, you know, I'm so excited about what I do. I love some of the clients I'm working with. I'm getting the chance to get to know so-and-so and so-and-so. Been working with them for the last few months. And, you know, just so lucky to be doing what I'm doing. And you know, obviously use your own words, but when you can start to sort of turn the conversation from, like you said, blasting out content and having it just be one-way marketing, which doesn't really work in social, to having it be more of, this is why I'm really excited about what I do. And, of course, when you bring clients into the conversation, you have to be careful because some clients don't want to be that public, right? And you're going to know that. The closer you work with your clients, you're going to kind of get a sense, like, are they sort of a social media person? Are they not? But my advice is come from it at a place where you're just excited about what you do. You know, maybe it's something funny, maybe it's something interesting. I would say kind of be in the moment as you're going throughout your day, whether you're at an event or you're on broker's tour or you see an interesting house. Why not have that be part of, you know, part of something interesting that sort of tells your story of what you do? So I think, again, just going back to coming from a place of why you love what you do, and when you can share that in a really authentic way, all of a sudden it becomes, this guy is just passionate about what he does. Like, I want to work with somebody who's really fired up about what they do. That's awesome. So I think that's a huge thing that can make a big difference.
Dave, how do you manage your personal profile? Because it's something I've never tried to. I mean, I haven't. I mean, you know, if there's an article that gets written, I might share it saying it's great. And just how do you have aunts and past clients and colleagues on the same platform and still engage and still be authentic and still foster these relationships?
Well, I don't manage it. That's how I manage it. I don't have any real intent. I'm me. Mm-hmm. I put up stuff about me, and I know that my audience is pretty broad. I have just as many RE/MAX agents as other real estate agents in other companies, as past clients and customers, and friends and relatives, all in one big mix. Now, I did get out of here to put creating some little groups, and I can focus my message. I got that from Katie. Mm-hmm. That's really a good point. But I don't. I you know you if you if I just put what I'm doing where I'm at. I do put up things like I'm doing an open house, and I only do it if one of my team members is doing it, only because just to sort of reiterate to people, this is what we do. We're real estate agents. Just sure. Kind of a reminder. So maybe I do need to be a little more focused, but I manage it, and It works. It works. We engage people. They know who we are. They know what we do. They know who we are.
Yeah.
And that's what I. That's why I do it.
But it's kind of an interesting backwards compliment, though, Dave. That's the way you've done it, because you've embraced that authenticity part that I think a lot of people struggle with, where you're just. It's almost like I'm just going to be me. I'm going to tell you about my life. I'm not going to have it. And that seems to be that's the people that when I see them online, I'm most interested in, because we see people's one aspect of their lives. I was sitting on a panel about a social media, and there's four of us there, and the question from the audience says, should we separate our presence on social media, business only, and keep it completely separate from our personal lives? And one person said, absolutely, and three of us said, what, are you crazy? And I said to him, what's your hobby? What do you like to do? He says, I'm a big bike rider. I like to ride my bike. And I go, if you don't share that, you don't connect with that other guy who also has a passion for riding his bike, and you lose out on this engagement. I don't think we can move forward without talking a little bit about ourselves. I started the show talking about my mental health issues. Certainly interested, because I think it's a conversation we need to have, and if there's some way I can help someone. But I know there's somewhere it goes, wow, I didn't know that about him, and there's a sense that he was willing to be real with me, so I am more willing to be real with him. I think your strategy, even though it's not one, tends to work.
It's like, well, the unstrategy strategy. I love
it. It's not marketing. Well, it is. It's not marketing.
I would caution some newer real estate agents about the way I'm doing things, only because I've been doing this a very long time. I love what I do, and I don't want to sound to cut it the wrong way, but I don't really care in a lot of ways at my age what people think about what I do and how I do it. This is me. I'm not changing, and I'm not going to be some phony guy to everybody out there on the internet, you know, and when they meet me, well, you're not the guy I knew. You know, they're gonna deal with Vanessa and I and our team because of who we are. Yeah. If you want to build a business, you know, a big business, and you're just started in this, maybe you shouldn't be doing it so much the way I'm doing it. You should have a strategy. You should be a little more cautious about what you do. But again, you know, it just depends on where you're at in your career, and where I'm at. this is me, and this is what I do, and it works. It works.
It does.
Well, Dave, I think what you just touched on is authenticity, you know, and that's the name of the game. I know it's a buzzword right now, but you are who you are, right? And just being authentic and being yourself, and how you would be in real life is how you are online. So that's huge.
I get in trouble sometimes for things I say and do, but you know,
okay.
I'm definitely excitement in my life. If you're 25 years old in the business, you don't need that kind of excitement.
Yeah. If our audience is watching, it's Katie Lance, so we've got a big audience watching. If you have any questions, you can put them in your Q&A feature here, right there on the blog. If you're watching, you can tweet them using the hashtag MATVLive, and we'll get your questions asked to Katie. One of the huge things, and golden rule number 8 from Clark, was communicate regularly. I think for real estate agents, one of the hang-ups in embracing social media over traditional marketing, and I put email in with social media, by the way. I think it's one of the most powerful social media tools. We separate them too much, but is traditional marketing, bus benches ads, newspaper ads, you can throw money on it, and it seems like you've done your job. And I think a lot of agents want to throw money on it, and social media, you can't. Yeah. And one of the things I've learned is consistency is so very, very important when it comes to social media. So much so that the advice is to always have regular things happen so people expect it. No matter how much I put out in all the ways to promote this show that we were coming on at an unusual time at 11:15 Pacific and 12:15 Eastern, I still got tweets and text messages and voicemails at 10 o'clock going, are you guys having tech problems? Where's Katie? We gotta watch Katie. So even though it was everywhere, people get into the routine of expecting it at a certain time. That's obviously a huge benefit. Katie, you've talked about this quite a bit.
Yes.
It's important. What steps do we continue to put in place to make sure that we are being regular, intentional, and strategic in our social media efforts?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you hit the nail on the head. Consistency is totally the name of the game. You know, when people ask me, well, what's the secret, right? What's the secret to social media? And do people really get business from social media? The one aspect of it is the personal aspect, the fact of just being there, of showing up, of connecting with people intentionally. And then the other big piece of it is being consistent with what you're posting. And so for most agents, that's where you people have a hard time with, because they get busy, right? It's really easy to post to Facebook or Twitter and LinkedIn when your business is slow. But all of a sudden your business picks up and you're, you know, working with 5 different clients and you're juggling different situations, and the first thing to usually kind of like go is social media or email marketing, right? So I think you have to kind of take a step back and put some systems into place. Specifically for social media, one of the things I always say is utilize the tools that are available to you. You know, for example, if you have a Facebook business page, Facebook business pages allow you to schedule content. Now, I always say don't schedule all of your posts. Don't schedule years in advance or even months in advance. But if you have a business page and you're not seeing a lot of traction from your business page, I can almost guarantee it's because you're not there consistently. You have to be there consistently, you know, at least, you know, either once a day or at least a few times a week. And the way that you do that is by scheduling content. So, again, taking kind of a step back and saying, okay, I'm going to sit down on maybe a Friday morning or a Saturday morning or whatever it might be, and setting aside a half an hour or so and looking at your week and going, next week, what do I want to talk about in social media? Okay, I've got a listing coming up Friday. Okay, I'm going to post a video. Okay, I've got got some great market reports I want to send out through email, and I'm already sending out to somebody else. I want to post that Tuesday. And you start to think versus like, oh my gosh, what am I going to post right now? You start to think about that next week. And I mean, in fact, on my website, I know a lot of people who visited my website have downloaded, I have a content grid that has really helped a lot of agents start to think beyond today, right? And start to think of a week or 30 days in advance. And so when
that content grid is also good about it helping you mix up the content. So so there's a little bit of everything that, and I think it's very, very helpful.
Absolutely. And when you start to really think about your content, you know, 5 to 7 days out, you know, you start to go, okay, on Monday I want to post a beautiful photo. You know, I just took a cool photo of downtown Main Street. I'm going to post that. You know, Tuesday I'm going to talk about that great dinner I had last night at that restaurant because that was a great restaurant. Wednesday I've got a listing coming up. And you start kind of going through this process of thinking about your week and what can you share, and what will, you know, what makes your brand, you know. So it's hugely important just to kind of have those systems in place.
I think you take the content grid and you take the 10 rules grid, you put them up next to each other. That's really all you need to know about being on social media.
I agree. I never even thought about that. They're very, very similar.
Mm-hmm.
There's 10 rules, and they have to fall within those 10 rules. And here's the grid that you do, and you do it. I think that's a great point, Dave. You can see the grid on last week's episode at mobileagenttv.com. I put it right in there, and you can go to katielance.com and get Katie's download, and you're off to the races. I think one of the keys, and we talked about it last week, and you are the prime example of it, and it's one of the reasons why agents struggle at it too as well, is the number 10th golden rule was to moderate closely. Mm-hmm. And when you put out content, that's just when you've started. When you post a video, you have just started. When you do the show and ask people to tweet you, you've just started. Yeah. It's the interaction and engagement afterwards, because the word is engagement, engaging content, engagement. It's not a one-way street. And so when you put out the content, when people comment on it, you have to let them know that they've been heard. If, Katie, it's only a tweet back with a smiley face or a thanks. Mm-hmm. That really separates the people that get it and don't get it, Katie, and you do it better than anyone else with no tweet left behind.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. It's something that I'm really passionate about. I think about just anybody who's listening, if you've ever had a really great experience or really not so great experience, maybe with a restaurant or a store, or you know, and you've left a review or you've reached out and you hope for a response, right? Maybe you've emailed somebody, maybe you've done a Yelp review, maybe you posted it to Facebook or Twitter. There's nothing worse than feeling like you've said something and nobody's listening, right? There's just nothing worse than that. And so I know with scheduling tools it makes it easy to schedule content, but I always say be careful and make sure that you've also have systems in place that you can respond to comments, write quickly or respond to tweets or whatever your platform is of choice. You know, for me, my system is I make sure I have push notifications set up on my phone. So I'm not necessarily in front of Facebook 24 hours a day, but if someone sends me a private message or comments on something I posted, I want to know about it so I can respond quickly. And like you said, Michael, a response could be just clicking the like button. It could be a smiley face. It could be a thank you, or it could be more of a, you know, more of an interaction, more of a conversation. But you're right. Posting something is just the beginning. And once you sort of go down this road of content, if you can post something that sparks a conversation, maybe it's a question or your opinion about something, you know, that's where the kind of the secret sauce is, because then you're getting people involved in a conversation and you're engaging with them. But responding, it's a huge thing. It's a little thing, but it's really a huge thing that makes a big difference.
Clark said it last week. He said, if you never even put up a post of your own, if all you did was respond short little things to all the posts your friends were putting up, that would take you way along with the path to where you need to go.
Yeah.
And that's a great, Dave, great point, because I think the keys to being a great salesman is listening. You know, one of the reasons why I were able to provide a great experience for our clients is because we know how to shut up and listen. and that's a skill. And so when it comes to social media, on Twitter, if you just listened for conversations that you could add value to instead of worrying about what am I going to tweet today, if you just in the morning authentically engaged with your past clients on posts that they post, because we all know what it's like, the reason why they put out something at hopes that someone will validate the fact that their kid graduated high school or whatever it was, if you just went around and engaged with other people's content, you would actually never have to create content of your own. You could just listen and respond to what's important to your client.
Yeah. There's power in noticing and paying attention.
Absolutely. In fact, about a year ago, I said to Valerie Garcia, why do you favorite tweets? Why do you keep them for somewhere afterwards? Like, what? Because you just favorite tweets. And I'd never done it before. She goes, because then the person knows that I saw their tweet or that I read what they put out. And now I favorite tweets all the time when it's authentic and appropriate, just to say, I heard it. I saw it. Yeah. And now it's a really powerful way of just saying, yep, heard it, and that's all people want. They just want to be heard. Yeah. So I think it's a really, really important thing to do. And
absolutely.
Absolutely. If you just want to, and I'm sure you do that on Facebook when your clients post something, just say congratulations or way to go or whatever, right?
Yeah, just noticing. Hey, one thing I was going to mention too, Michael, you just touched on this a second ago, but I think proactively engaging in conversations is a huge opportunity, especially on Twitter. I know not everybody's on Twitter, but you know, one way that a lot of people could really leverage Twitter better, for example, is not, again, worried so much about what you're gonna say, but there's so many conversations happening. I mean, I think of just, you know, Mobile Agent TV. We had this conversation a minute ago about, you know, sort of, you know, promoting the show, and you know, maybe there's and I'm sure you're probably already doing some of this, but you know, maybe watching hashtags like hashtag real estate or hashtag realtor, or watching hashtags of events that you might know that are going on, and then, you know, engaging with those people, not saying, hey, tune into the show, but just, you know, engaging people who are talking about some of these things, who are realtors or who are agents. I think that as agents, there's opportunity to do that as well. You know, if you're an agent in Denver, maybe, you know, track the hashtag, you know, Denver real estate agent or moving to Denver. And, you know, it's one extra thing. It's not necessary for everybody. But there's these moments of opportunity where you can kind of be a part of the conversation and sort of live in those comments, live in that opportunity to connect with people in a real authentic way.
Yeah, one of my very favorite – I love Twitter. Dave hasn't bought in yet. But my big thing is
we've been working on Dave for like a year.
Real estate's a very, very hyper-local thing. So the fact that I can take it and only listen to people talking about real estate or realtor or open house within 10 kilometers of my front door, sorry, 10 miles for the people watching in the States, at my front door has a lot more value than hearing tweets from all over. And so I do keep an eye on that quite a bit. And social media is an amazing thing. The fact that we can put out a YouTube video about a market update Run Facebook or YouTube pre-roll ads, the 5 seconds that runs between your watch a video, only in people that live in the neighborhood where that market report's about, only in front of videos that have to do with real estate. They're watching real estate videos, and I'm going to talk about what's happening in the real estate market in the area where they live for cents on the view. It's in, like, the marketing is so amazingly targeted that there's never been an opportunity like this before. And in the first 5 seconds of the video, I say, I'm Michael Thorne from REMAX Little Oak Realty, and here's your market report for the neighborhood you live in. Mm-hmm. In the first 5 seconds, which they're forced to watch, and I get that for free.
Yep.
It's amazing. And that rolls us on to the next crazy topic that I've just started experimenting with, is Facebook dark posts. I think it's a very interesting thing, because I've been so trying to create this community, and we've done a very great job of it, I think, in North Langley, without turning my home. I think we've been very successful in it, creating community where now that you have people as fans of your Facebook page, now you get to market to them. Well, the game has changed with Facebook unpublished posts, as they're called officially, the fact that you don't need to have anyone like your page at all, yet you could market to them. And I was talking with Chantel Limon about it the other day. She asked me how we're leveraging it. I said, we're creating ads for women that are 45 to 55. That's a different ad than men from 45 to 50 or 40 to 55, different than people that are interested in wine, different than people that are interested in sports. And so the messaging becomes hyper, hyper targeted. And that's something that a newspaper ad, a bus bench ad, will never, ever let you to do. Talk about, when you're advising people, some of the opportunities to target, and that's where it becomes powerful.
It's hugely amazing. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And Facebook dark posts have gotten a lot of buzz lately. I know Gary Vaynerchuk's been talking a lot about Facebook dark posts.
What's your ROI for Gary Vaynerchuk t-shirt? There
that
you go.
That is awesome. perfect, right?
Yeah.
Between Facebook dark posts and even just regular Facebook advertising, I mean, for people listening who have never done a Facebook ad, I think there's a little bit of intimidation. I always say, go to facebook.com/ads. Facebook has done a pretty phenomenal job, even just in the last 3 months, of really publishing some great tutorials or some great videos, some really simple how-to. If you're the kind of agent that says, just show me where to click, I'm not sure what to do and what you're talking about, there's some really great tutorials. Facebook also has published a phone number you can actually call. You can call Facebook now.
Wow. Really?
Which is yes. I know, right? I don't know who answers that phone. I don't think Zuck answers the phone. But the targeting is pretty incredible. I have an example for you. I've been working with a client, a REMAX broker, and was doing a social media audit for them, which is something I do for a lot of clients, where I get, I get hired to say, okay, let me look at all of your social networks and let me come back to you with a pretty detailed report of things that are great and things that, could use some improvement on. And one of the things I found as a big opportunity for them was to do Facebook advertising. They had never done any advertising. They had a pretty strong Facebook presence, blog, done a lot of good things, but advertising was a big opportunity. And this particular office was very focused on recruiting. And I said, well, let's look at the possibilities for ads. And so we pulled up Facebook advertising. We pulled up people who lived in their specific cities within a 25-mile radius. We looked at people who worked for their competitors. We looked at people who also had the title of realtor, real estate agent, every title of an agent could have. And so that post was now targeted to 3,900 people. And I said, here's your opportunity to do an ad where you're targeting a very small niche group of people. You could, narrow that down even more, like you said, Michael, into men or women, people who are having a birthday pretty soon or whatever it might be. But to really have that opportunity to create such a targeted ad, it's huge. It's hugely valuable. For a lot of the clients I've been working with, they've had a lot of success doing ads like that, whether it's dark post or just regular traditional Facebook ads that are hyper-targeted, and not spending an inordinate amount of money. I mean, I remember I used to work at a brokerage, and I used to be the person that would help lay out those newspaper ads, right? And those ads would be thousands of dollars or hundreds of dollars. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you could spend $100 on a Facebook post or 50 or 5. So it's absolutely incredible. But I would encourage anyone who's never done anything, just go to facebook.com/ads, kind of poke around. the great thing is you can try with $5. Try $5 and just kind of play around with it. Sometimes you need to learn by doing, and just, you know, watching to see what happens.
Dave, your very foot, I don't know if it was your very first Facebook post or ad. didn't it result in like 3 CMAs or something like that?
Yes. I threw some money at We Love Hillsboro community page, mm-hmm. and I boosted a post about a landing page we had about earn the value of your home. And $25 is what I put at it. And I got 3 market analyses out of it. We visited 3 people, visited their homes, listed one of them. The other 2 are on the back burner for a while, but they're now in our little database. Nice. So I haven't done it since. We've just been so busy, but it's kind of like, you know, it's on the list. And it was just, I was just like blown away. So $25, 3 CMAs. What's the ROI on that?
Yeah, it can be a really great prospecting tool. And, you know, with Facebook specifically, typically with Facebook, a lot of times agents feel like they're like in an echo chamber and they're talking to the same people over and over again. So how do you use Facebook as a prospecting tool? Advertising is a really, really great way to do that. Same thing with Twitter, by the way. I'm seeing Twitter ads perform phenomenally well. And so anybody active on Twitter or has a fair amount of Twitter presence, you can go to ads.twitter.com. And here's a little hack, by the way, on Twitter ads. You can actually go to ads.twitter.com and pull your Twitter analytics and not ever have to spend a dime on Twitter advertising. But if you just want to see your Twitter analytics, they're sort of hidden in the ad panel of Twitter. So for those of you who are my tweeps that are listening, it's a very cool little hidden thing that Twitter's hiding for some reason.
I will definitely do that afterward. I want to see my analytics on Twitter. I think Twitter is an unbelievably valuable tool for realtors. I think it's the one for me anyway. Yeah. But it also has to be based on your personality. I also enjoy it, so I'm there and I'm present, and therefore I can moderate it closely. I can add value. And Dave said that, I think you said it, Katie, Dave said it, you know, if you're not going to do it, don't be there, because the worst thing is, if you do have a Twitter account, I expect that I can tweet at you. And if you don't tweet me back or don't respond, especially if you're a business or a brand like we are as realtors, you're probably going to damage your reputation more than you're going to hurt it.
Yeah.
Katie, before we let you go, we want to talk about Get Social Smart. And one of the reasons I asked you, why did you start Get Social Smart, which is Katie's new coaching program for real estate agents specific, about social media specific. And your response was something I agree with. There are so many, here's the 3 things you should do to engage. Here's the 4 things you should do. Here's the 10 things. Here's the 5 must tools. And everything is very surface and very wide, but there's no one that takes you deep on how to really implement a social strategy.
Yeah.
I don't think, me personally, going forward, agents have a choice whether they want to generate new business, build brand awareness, brand affinity, and to keep in touch with your clients between the transactions to get your 77%. Now, we can do it long-term without social or whatever comes next. The traditional market has passed us by as an effective marketing tool. Why did you start Get Social Smart? How is it going to help agents really grasp where they are? And do they already have to have some social presence, or is this for beginners?
Well, I started it because, you know, honestly, it's something that's been sort of brewing in the back of my mind since I started my own consulting firm 2 years ago. 95% of my clients are corporate clients, from RE/MAX LLC to DocuSign to, you know, mortgage companies, startup companies, everyone in between. I've got a number of great corporate clients that I work with and help, you know, their marketing teams and help to build on a corporate level their strategy. But I really felt there was, you know, sometimes you have that little feeling in your gut or that little birdie in your ear just saying, you know, there's something else or something else that you're missing. And I really felt a really strong passion to serve agents and to help agents. You know, I feel really blessed in the fact that I get asked to speak at a lot of conferences. I speak at, you know, RE/MAX conferences and Inman conferences and NAR. And invariably, I get off stage and I get, you know, a dozen or so people come up and they say, you know, do you have a program for agents? Do you work one-on-one with agents? And, you know, there's just one of me. I do have a small but mighty team. But at the end of the day, just the, sort of the scalability of working one-on-one with agents is, you know, just something that I knew I didn't have the bandwidth for. And I'm the kind of person where if I'm not going to be able to do it to the best of my ability, I'm not going to do it. So I started kind of brainstorming about it, and the idea of a group coaching program really kept coming back, and I thought, you know what, I think there's something here. I ran it by a few people that I really know and trust, and kind of got their feedback on it. And so we launched it a few weeks ago, actually about 2 weeks ago, was our first class, and it's a six-week training class where I'm really focused on having it be a small group. I've got about a dozen or so people in my initial coaching class right now, which is exactly what I wanted. I wanted kind of a small-ish, intimate group of people. And basically the way it works is it's a once-a-week coaching call. We get on the phone once a week. It's every Friday morning. And it really allows me to dig a lot deeper. Like you said, Michael, there's so many posts out there, and I'm guilty of it. I mean, I put posts out all the time with tips and tricks and strategy. I do webinars. And those are great, and I think those are sort of snacks, right, when you're talking about content. They're great little quick hits. But for someone who's like, okay, I really want to kind of take it to the next level, and I want to dive deeper, then I think the coaching is really, really kind of where it's at. So what I've sort of developed is this program where over the course of 6 weeks, I talk about really in depth all of the different platforms and also talk a lot about content strategy and sort of strategy in general and making the right decisions for how you're going to manage your time and what platforms work for you. And then layered in that as well is looking at each of their social platforms. So it's not just a one-way conversation where I'm sort of like preaching at people, but where I'm finding really kind of the fun part of it is looking at what they're doing and on offering you know, some of that advice and some of that sort of, you know, tweaks to what they're doing. So it's been really an exciting process, and I've got another class coming up in October, so had a bunch of people ask me about it, and I think that'll be good timing right before the holidays.
Right? Yeah. So if anyone's interested in that, you can go to getsocialsmart.com and you can learn more about it, and you can register and have Katie take. I mean, even this, an hour long, you know, there's some agents that went, oh, I wish they had talked about, wish they went, like, it's so hard, even yeah. in an hour-long program to go deep. And we're 65 episodes in and just getting started with sort of the things that we get to talk about on this show. So I think it has a ton of value. Mike asks on Twitter, what was that Twitter URL again, please, for the analytics?
Sure. It's ads, so ads.twitter.com. ads.twitter.com.
And there's a link down below somewhere?
Yeah, so when you log in, you got to go to ads.twitter.com. You need to log into your Twitter account, and I believe it's in the upper right-hand corner. There's like a button or a drop-down that says either Insights or Analytics, and when you click that, it's basically like one or two clicks away, and you can just get into it, and you'll see like your followers, you'll see your demographics of the people who follow you, other handles that are similar to what you're following. It's pretty interesting. I actually pulled Twitter analytics for me compared with my Facebook analytics, and it was really fascinating to see who's following me on Twitter versus who's following me on Facebook and the type of people and what conversations they're having. So it's been really helpful for me just looking at my strategy.
Yeah. No, actually, there's some spheres that cross over, but I know our My North Langley Twitter following and our My North Langley Facebook following, some overlap, but not as much as you think it would.
Yeah.
They'd be in both places, and they're not.
Yeah.
Dave, takeaways from today's episode.
Before you push send, even though that's a little contradictory to what I just talked about, I think that's really good. I think that's really great advice. Just put a little thing up on your desk, and you can post all you want and make comments about things, but I think that it's probably really, really important that you think sometimes before you push that send button. And that is in the right context and the right case. Because you're going to take your time to do this, you may as well do it as most efficiently as you can. A lot of other takeaways too, but you know that's kind of stands out at the top for me.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the takeaway, Dave, for me was go to katielance.com, pull the content grid. Take the 10 golden rules.
Get started. I love that.
And do it. And you know what? And jump in there and show a little bit of personality. I think you need, like you said, Dave, just be you. And if I don't hold back anymore. I used to sort of be a little bit more subdued, but I'm not anymore. Katie Lance, how do people get a hold of you on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff?
I'm pretty much Katie Lance everywhere. So you can katielance.com, best place to reach me. I've got all my social handles right there. But katielance.com. You can go to facebook.com/KatieLanceConsulting. But yeah, website's probably the easiest way. You can sign up and get the free content grid. You can get more information about the coaching or, you know, anything like that. It's all right there.
Perfect. Thanks, Katie. And I want to tell you a little bit about social media and how to engage with people online, social media-wise. We had former guest on the show, Tim Schmoyer of Video Creators TV. He runs an amazing YouTube channel where I've learned a lot about YouTube. He came on the show, and then I went down to Legoland with my family, and there is a statue, or was a statue, of a guy right outside Legoland that looked just like Tim Schmoyer, and for whatever reason, I didn't take a picture of it. We talked about it on the show with Tim Schmoyer, actually, so I must have been to Legoland before. Katie Lance is posting on Facebook that she's down in Legoland with her family. I send her out a message, hey, can you take a picture of a statue? She says, weird request. I sent a photo of Tim. She looks for Tim, can't find him, the statue's gone.
So sad.
That's social media for you. So the fact that I know what's going on in your life, and I can keep track of you and feel like we're a part of each other's life, so that's fantastic.
You know, and for those of you that missed the time, you know, and got it all wrong, our number one fan had it wrong.
Yeah.
It was because this is a special time because we had a special guest.
Thank you.
Katie, really enjoy listening to you. You know, I'm following you out back there. You don't know. I'm watching what's going on.
You've been
a big help to me, and I know to a lot of people. And you bring a lot of value, and I really appreciate that personally. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that a lot.
I feel the same way, although Dave said it better. Next week's guest is Nabu Hada, who is the NAR Director of Digital Engagement. Awesome guy, amazing speaker.
He's
going to bring a lot of value for people, especially in the midst of, especially in the States, the merger that happened. You know, his big thing is give them something they can't Google. So we'll get all into that with Nabu Hada on next week's show, which is Friday, August the 22nd. At our regular time, 10 o'clock a.m. Pacific, 1 o'clock Eastern. If you have any referrals heading out to the East Coast of the United States, get a hold of Dave. He'll put you in the hands of the right REMAX agent. Any referrals coming out to the West Coast of Canada, get a hold of me, and I'll put you in the hands of the right REMAX agent. And that's Melanie Gallia of REMAX, where he wants us to end every show. Please tell 5 other REMAX agents about Mobile Agent TV. We grow every week, and we're able to reach out for time number 4. To Katie Lance to come on the show and give an hour of her time, which is super, super valuable. Katie, thank you so much. I appreciate it. You've become a very good friend through social media and now in person, and we appreciate all the support you've given us over the past year and a half. Dave and I very, very much appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. Just keep up the great work. I know, you know, there's every time I'm on stage, I got to talk about you guys because I just think what you're doing is really, really great, and you're providing a great service. You know, not just to REMAX agents, but to people of any brokerage. I think you've got something really special here, and you've really tapped into a great market, and you're doing something you're passionate about. So keep up the great work. I'm a big fan of both of you.
Thanks, Katie. Thank you, everyone, for watching. We'll see you all next week.